Just want to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. If the children have not already went, they can go to Children's Church if they would like to in the other room. But again, just want to welcome each and every one of you here. You know, as we gather here this morning, my prayer for you is that each and every one of you have tasted just how good the Lord is in your life. At some point in your life, you've realized and experienced and tasted his fullness. You know, because honestly, that's why we gather here this morning, is because of the fact of how wonderful and great he is. Just how awesome. You know, that's who we truly come to worship. You know, I was reminded the other day of something that someone used to do at church here years ago. He would start off by saying, God is good
all the time.
You know, I remember us sharing that. It didn't matter where you would see this gentleman at, somewhere, maybe the library, or place that you normally would be quiet. You know, it didn't matter where he would. He'd always shout that to me because he knows that I would try to shout it back louder. And we kind of had that thing. But, you know, God truly is good. And I hope this morning you really know that. But let's open up his word this morning. We're going to be in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. It says, therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Lord, my prayer, I ask that you be with me, so that I share the words that you would have me to share, not to add to that, Lord. I just want your message to be clear to each and everyone here this morning. God, I know you have something for each of us, Lord. My prayer is that each of us have come with a proper heart, proper mindset to not only hear those words, but to apply them. Lord, we just love you and thank you for first loving us. In your name I pray, amen. You know, over the last few weeks, Brother Devin has been sharing out of 1 Peter. You know, there are a few verses that I want to kind of look back on just briefly, but I think are definitely something that we must do before we move on to 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. And those will be found 1 Peter 1, 22 through 25. And I'll read those. Now that you have been purified, you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love for one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. You know, as Devin shared with us a few weeks ago, because we had a little bit of a break from 1 Peter. You know, he was speaking elsewhere in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, a few weeks ago, as he was in these verses and sharing God's word here with us, you know, we found out that, you know, honestly, it's not about us, is it? You know, we are but, you know, just a brief speck in the overall eternal scheme of things, right? But yet, when we look at ourselves and our life, it's all that matters sometimes. Amen? You know, we like to make sure that our experience, the things that we're going through, are exactly what we want. But in reality, it is all too brief. In these verses, we are reminded of the importance of the Word in our lives, the saving power and importance of Christ in our lives. It isn't about us individually, but the the perfect seed, you know, through the living and enduring word of God, a word that we know will stand forever. Today I want to look at three characteristics of a follower of Christ, okay? Someone who has made that commitment, has made that statement. I'm not talking about the individual that just has a cross around their neck or maybe occasionally comes to church because he feels that or she feels that's where she needs to be. I'm talking about someone who has made that commitment, not just calls themselves a Christian, but live by it. There should be three things that are easily viewed from ourselves as we look at ourselves and by others if we are living as God would have us. First would be a follower of Christ will grow in holiness, okay? Second thing we'll look at is a follower of Christ will desire the Word of God. The third thing will be a follower of Christ must be born again. Now, all three of these things will happen, but that last one is a must, and we'll get to it here in a little bit. But the first thing that I mentioned was a follower of Christ will grow in holiness. What is the first thing that we must realize in coming to a saving relationship offered by Jesus Christ? What is the first thing? Like, if I were to say the ABCs of becoming a Christian, do you guys remember that? Admit, right? We have to admit what? That we're awesome? No. Admit that what? That we're sinners, right? That we're not perfect. That if you watch us long enough, we'll fall flat on our face. You know, and it's that moment. I remember that moment years ago where I sat in the sanctuary over when it used to be next door where the fellowship hall is, and I remember sitting there that Thursday night going, I don't know what this dude's talking about, but I know for a fact that, yeah, I'm a sinner. And we have to admit that, don't we? And we have to admit that no matter at that moment, we haven't been able to do anything about it, have we? And we have to admit, we have to recognize, you know, that we are sinners with no hope of salvation. Now, when we admit that, then we know everything, correct? Once we admit that, boom, our eyes are opened and we see all. No. That is a first step in a journey, right? You know, and when we do that, I think that's what Peter's talking about here in 1 Peter 2:1, where it says, therefore rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. You know, I remember right after making that decision. Granted, God knew beforehand, I understand, but I remember recognizing that I was a sinner. And I remember recognizing that I need to ask for that forgiveness, and I did. And I remember after that, I was so excited to share that. I was so excited to share what God had done for me. And I remember at the time I was doing construction with my brothers and my dad and I, you know. And so, you know, construction guys, they're always, you know, very, very godly men and women. And we do nothing but, you know, pour concrete, Bible study, eat lunch, pour some more concrete. But no, that's not how it went. But I remember in my crude ways, going to work, going to share what I had learned, okay, what I had picked up, which was very little, okay? I just knew that I was a sinner, and I knew God was perfect. That's what I had realized, and I remember getting into argument after argument, because that's what you do as a believer, right, is you want to argue the truth to someone. No, but I remember I hadn't begun or even realized that I needed to put some things away, okay? And that's what Peter's talking about. You know, for us as a follower of Christ, we'll grow in holiness when we first and foremost recognize that we need to put some stuff away, okay? Put it aside. Putting away when used here is also referred to the kind of rejection or sometimes meant stripping off soiled garments. You know, back in the day when someone would come to be baptized, do you realize they would come, they would be baptized, and then after they were done with that, they would throw those clothes away? All right? They would discard them because that was part of their old, right? You know, I think now it's like too many people look at baptism as something like, okay, I'm going to come do this, boom, boom, and I'm good to go. I can go on and do my thing because I'm covered by this, right? But yet Peter, he's reminding us here, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. He doesn't say just do this with some of it. Just do this with something that you don't struggle with. He's saying all, right? Put it away. Put it aside. So, you know, the first thing for a follower of Christ to grow in holiness, they must first and foremost admit that it's not about them. Second thing is they need to put that self-desire, that sin, away. He also goes on to, you know, in this say, because of, Peter is also saying, therefore, because of the gift given, you know, he starts off with therefore. That's why it was important for me to read those verses that Brother Devin shared with us a few weeks ago. It's because of that, is what Peter says, because of that gift that was offered, because of that imperishable seed. Because of that, that we are able to put it aside, to take it off, to throw it away. I don't have time to go through each of these and break them down, but I want to look at one that I think is all too easily looked past. You know, as believers, we can look, okay, I don't want to deceive somebody in envy, but you know, that slander, you know, that talking, you know, it used to be back in the good old days, if you wanted to, you know, slander someone or you wanted to talk about them, you either went to that individual face to face or you had to go to someone else face to face and talk about the other person, right? But you did this right there in front. Nowadays, is that the case? No. Man, we can just sit on our phones, actually, because they're basically computers, right? We can just sit there and we can share pictures. We can share what the kids call memes. My mom calls memes. You guys ever seen those? Don't get me wrong. I look at them. I laugh. You know, they're usually a picture. And then it has some word or opinion shared with it that goes with, obviously, what you think is funny or what you agree with. You know, there's not a process of going face to face and having any type of communication. We can just sit there and we can do this, right? And if we don't even have to limit it to one person, it could be a whole group of people. And we look for people that share those same opinions with us so that we can do this, and we can literally talk down to whole countries and whole groups of people just with a click of a button. And then in the next click of that button, we can then proclaim this goodness that God has done for us. Amen? That, people, is slander. That's part of it. You know, if we first and foremost, what do we do? We admit. And we have to be reminded of that all the time. I know I do. I am not perfect. I am thankful every single day for God first and foremost loving me before I even knew Him. Now, there are those times, you know, where I begin to, oh, I'll answer you. I got a better one right here. Check that out. And then I'm reminded, dude, this is not about you, Gary. Remember what what I have done for you? And it takes trial and error, doesn't it? We're not going to be perfect in it. We're going to mess up. But we can't ever look at it and go, okay, that's just how I am. I'm not perfect, so, you know, that's too hard. Well, are we truly tasting and seeing how good God is if we tell him, you're only this big in my life? Is that what Peter's talking about here? No. As we look at this verse, we must realize that for us to grow in our holiness, we must strive to eliminate sin in our life. This strengthens our desires for God's word. And if we don't do this, we are basically limiting our ability to grow in God's holiness. Because these things take us from where he wants us to be. You know, as a follower of Christ, we will desire the word of God. A follower of Christ will desire the word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says this, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Desire. You know, kind of, if we look at just a dictionary, Webster, whatever, it's defined as a strong feeling wanting to have something or wishing for something, you know, longing for. We each were created by God to desire him. You guys realize that? That's part of how he designed us. We were designed with to desire him. Yet too often we try to fill that desire elsewhere. You know, money, work, success at worldly things. Peter compares this desire that a believer should have to God's truth and word, that of a newborn baby. Have any parents out here? All right. God's little bundles of joy. When you know, always happy. Mary, you know what I'm saying. I thought it was only me. But no, it's like, or hey, even if you're not a parent, if you're a younger brother or sister, okay, you have a younger, or if you're an older brother and sister, I meant. Sorry, Jaden. Took that white back. I give it to you and then I take it back. No, if you have a younger brother or sister, you know what it means. Like in the middle of the night, they get hungry. What do? They just call, like that kid on the commercial, you know, just call, hey, grandma, hey, mom, bring me. No, they don't call and order something. No. What do they do? What's a baby do? Scream. Like it's the most lovely sound in the world. No. I'll never forget, like when Hannah, my oldest, was born and we were in the hospital, I stayed in the room with Heather and her, and at that time they would take her out of the room at night, and I remember it was about like every, I say hour, Heather and I, we were talking about this, and she said every probably 2 hours, but whatever it was, they would bring her in, and she would need to eat. Well, we just assumed that because they were bringing her in, it's because she had been waking up, you know, doing this screaming thing. So I'll never forget, we went home, and that was that first night. We fell asleep, and then we woke up, and it was like 8 hours later. And I'll never forget, like, Heather woke me up, I was still sleeping. I could have probably pushed 10 hours if she would have let me, but she woke me up and she was like, Hannah didn't wake up. You know, something is wrong. Something is going on. And we did. We thought since they were bringing it, so we proceeded to go ahead and wake her up so that she could eat. And then we later on told our parents about it and they were like, don't ever wake up a baby that's sleeping. We thought, you know, hey, I mean, it wasn't like we woke her up, like, you know. But the thing is God has created, even in that of infants, to know, hey, when you need something,
This is how you let others know.
When you desire that nourishment from your mother, this is how you do it. And they know what they need and when they need it. Peter compares it to this because of knowing. As we put aside the things God doesn't want for us, our hearts change. Our desires change for that which is good. The old is gone and it makes room for the new. So see, that's why it's very vitally important for us to strive to push all of that out. Not just some of it. Because if we're hanging on to one thing, it doesn't work like that. If we say, okay, this is okay. I don't struggle with, slander, but you know what? I'm still, and we say this part of it's okay. If God's word speaks against it, you have to recognize it because God is what? He's good. He tastes good. We've learned this earlier. So if we accept his goodness, we have to also accept all of what his word says. And so when we look at it, as we put these things aside, we realize that it makes this room. So for a follower of Christ, will desire the word of God to grow, we must long and desire that which is pure. For us to develop a desire, we must recognize it for being pure, for being good. I think sometimes, as people read God's word, they look at it as, guidelines, or they look at it as rules or things that they should and shouldn't do. Honestly, I'm so thankful for what he has allowed us to know through this. Each and every time, you look at it, I was defined the other day as a diamond to me, as Devin and I was talking. Have you ever looked at a diamond? Multiple different things, different. Every time you look at God's word, I'm not saying you change the meaning, but you see something new. Recognize it for what it is, the pureness that is offered to you. Now how do we go about developing that? Well, first and foremost, get involved, getting involved in a Bible study. On your own, at church, but most importantly also with your family at home. Psalms 42. Somebody might have read this already. Psalms 42, 1 through 3. As a deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? Even in the midst of what he was going through, being questioned, being mocked, he desired the same thing. No matter what the situation, good or bad, we need to recognize what it is that we desire and need. In those verses, David uses the term about a deer. And the fact is what was that deer pursuing? That water, right? Part of, every single one of us, we need food and water. It knew what it needed to stay alive. Do you know that the word in which God has left you, it is vitally important for survival? It's not just some book that you take out and, oh, wait, that kind of encourages me, so I'm going to take a picture, put that verse on it, and then share that with people. I got my favorite outfit on, so they'll relate. It's It's so much more than that. And as we fix our eyes on Him and His truths, we will grow and mature in that salvation. If we hang on to the sin that He speaks of, we can't mature. Have you ever had someone who, well, I guess I've maybe been pointed out and asked at different times in my life if I was going to grow up. But the fact is like, for those of you that are school teachers, have you ever had a student at the end of the year, they've done well, they've completed all the tasks that you asked them to, and then they're like, Miss Shippey, I just want to stay here with you. And you say, okay, I like you too. No, what happens? They still what? They move on. They have completed that part, what was asked of them, and the next thing is moving on to the next grade, if you will, in school. They've matured, they've grown to that point where they move forward. We can't just in life go, okay, I'm just going to stay here because I like the first grade. And we're 46 years old in first grade. They're juice box. No, that's not how it works. But sometimes on our walk with God, we just stop. We say, I kind of like it here. I'm not going any deeper. But Peter's saying you should desire that, not because you have to, but because you get to. It's pure. In 1 Peter 2:3, he goes on to say, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. In a way, this part I love because Peter's motivating them for a desire for the Word of God. He's motivating them in a way, it's kind of like going back to, whether you're a teacher or maybe a coach. I love helping out, like at my daughter's practices and stuff, but I by no means consider myself a coach. You know, you have to yell and, well, actually I do that. For one thing, you must be very confident and you must be able to stand firm on what you're going to be telling somebody, especially as a teacher. Have you ever had someone that you've had to, as a teacher, any of you, that you've had to go the extra mile to try to motivate, to encourage, so that they aren't 46 years old still in the grade? Is that sometimes frustrating? Yes. But you've probably, after the first year or two of teaching, you figured out that one thing that you could just use on everybody and everybody got it, right? No, doesn't work that way. Trust me, I've seen them all. And it's not how it works. You know, for some kids, you know, like with sports, as you're coaching someone, this is what I can speak of because I'm not a teacher, but like as you're coaching someone, like there's some of those kids, they don't even need like much motivation at all. They love where they're at. They want to do their best. They want to strive to complete the task that's in front of them. They want to be the best individual that they can be within this team. And they will give you the all from day one. And then there's others that they will give that all until they're challenged. And as soon as they're challenged, it's going to be like one of those light aluminum folding chairs. Have you ever seen those that are there? You pick them up and you feel like you're really strong, but then you go to set it in and they fold the opposite direction. As soon as they're on any kind of angle, they're just not structurally sound, but yet they sell millions of them. I don't know how that works. But there's certain ones of us that as we are challenged, we cave. Well, a follower of Christ, the third thing, a follower of Christ must be born again. Okay? Peter is motivating them to recognize, okay, verse 3, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, now, or some verses, some translations say if, or therefore, because you have done this, because you have tasted that God is good, because you have admitted, hey, it's not about me, and you've tasted that, now these things are capable, you're capable of achieving these things. Psalms 34, 8. I think is where Peter's echoing Psalms 34, 8 here, because he's basically, where's 34, 8 at? There's 34. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. If you went to a restaurant and you ordered an apple pie, okay, and they brought out some liver and onions, but it had a tag next to it on the plate that said apple pie, you're not even going to be able to tell the difference, right? Why? How are you going to? Not only the look, the smell, but the taste. You know what apple pie tastes like. Yeah. But what Peter's saying is, you know what? If you have tasted, like if these other verses, these things that we're talking about, the desire of what is pure, if that doesn't interest you, if putting away this stuff because it's not good, because it's not what God would want, if that doesn't interest you, then you need to, you know, we need to check. Okay, have I tasted? Because it is very conditional. We must have tasted the kindness, the goodness, and the grace of the Lord in our conversion. We then will know how blessed we are and how wonderful His grace is. You know, earlier I talked about that moment. Do you remember that moment? Okay, not like that was because of that choice or because of, you know, where you were. I'm asking you if you remember that, because if you're like me, it puts a smile on my face every time. Because I can look back where God has brought me. I can look back on all the good times and all the times that I fell straight on my face. You know, I've shared with you guys before, you know, the Sunday morning when I was being baptized, I remember them opening up that curtain and hearing Brother Bob say, have you ever seen an answer to prayers? And all these people that were upset and had been praying for me, and I didn't even know. That's God's grace. A moment in which I tasted God's goodness. We must regularly count, you know, if we've been born again, we must regularly count our blessings that are only because of the salvation Christ offered us. And when I say blessings, I don't mean that everything in life's going smoothly. If you've tasted, then you know of His goodness. You know, as we read earlier, in Psalms, you know, things weren't going great, but His commitment, His desire was still that towards God. So what does this, you know, look like for us each and every day? You know, each day we should, again, recognize those blessings. Recognize the fact that Christ loved us so much that He gave His Son up. is an opportunity to not only mature in our salvation, but we also need to look at each day as also one to be excited about. You know, those individuals that you might not agree with online, guess what? With that same click of the button, you can reach so many people positively for God too. So be excited and happy to be able to share the gift that you have been given. And that these things happen as we mature and grow in our relationship with Christ. So this morning, maybe you're struggling with something. Maybe there's something that you just can't seem to let go. Well, the fact is you can't because you're hanging on to it. So I would encourage you this morning, as the choir comes and to sing, come up here and kneel. Give it to God. Desire an understanding in that situation or whatever it is that you're going through. Whether he gives you what you want, or I can guarantee you this, though, giving it to him, it leads to a maturing and understanding that you might not even know today. So I would encourage you to, whatever that might be, just to come and give it to him as the choir comes. If you're here this morning and you don't know what all this talk about tasting is, you know what? Grab myself, grab Brother Devin afterwards, grab someone who has proclaimed that relationship with Christ to you in the past and talk to them. If you are and somebody talks to you, don't be scared. Be excited about that. Thank you.